Are you happy to be here this morning? Are you happy you come to church? I'm excited to be up here. God is doing amazing things right now, church. Amazing, amazing things. And listen to me closely, church. He is the God of this city. And listen, even much more, He is the God of this church. And He is not done. There is no God like Him. There is no God like Him. He's doing amazing things. I'm not going to say all the details of what's going on. I'll let Jimmy do that. But I get excited when God is on the move. When God's doing things that we can't do. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. New life, I got you. I got you. God's got us. God has got us, church. Praise His holy name. He is the God of the city. I want to read an encouraging passage. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, but here we read this in Sunday school. I had to read it again. It's so amazing. So amazing. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 33, it says, "Oh, the depths of His riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable is His judgments and His past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things." Listen to me, church. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. To Him be the glory forever. Amen, church. Amen. Are you excited to be here? There is no better place to be than the house of God. No better place than with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God is so good. So good. He is nothing but good. He is nothing but good. And He calls us, church, listen to me closely. He calls us to do good. Church, we're called to do good. We're saved. Christ saved. If you've been bought with the blood of Christ, or with the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been saved so that we might do good. Being devoted to goodness is an indication of your faith. Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. We should be producing good fruit. Much fruit, a lot of fruit. And listen, the world says, do good for yourself. But God says, do good for others. Do good for others. Not for yourself, not out of selfish ambition, but do good for others. Why? So that they would know your Father in heaven. Why do you do good? So that people, the world, might know that God is good. Because He's done a good work in you. Praise the Lord, He's done a good work in you. There are many believers today devoted to bad, devoted to hatred, devoted to bitterness. You can't tell if they're Christians. Believers today sometimes are hard to tell if they're believers at all. Why? Because we're so focused on self. American Christians are focused on self. What can I get? What can I do for myself instead of what God calls us to do good to others? Come on, church. Good to others. I want to ask you this question this morning. May you think about it deeply. Are you devoted to doing good? Is that a priority at all? Are you devoted to producing good fruit? Much fruit? The fruit that Christ would accept, that God would accept? That's all that matters, church. Pleasing God. I pray this morning that we're a sweet aroma to God. That's it. If all we could do is glorify His name in here, it would have been good that we were here today. Been good that you were here today. If we just lift our hands to God. Lift our hands to God and say how awesome that He is. If that's all we ever did, praise. Praise the Lord. We're going to get in here to Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. I want to give you a little bit of context. Titus is one of the guys. Paul's writing this letter. Titus is one of the guys. You got Timothy, he's one of the guys. Titus is one of the guys. His job was to oversee the churches in Crete. That was his job. And there's a lot in this book. This is an amazing book. It's a short book. But it's an amazing book. Paul talks about leadership. He talks about the church. He talks about false teachers. He talks about the responsibility of a man, a responsibility of a woman. And listen to me, this is what we'll talk about this morning. That that he talks about doing good. Being good Christians. Starting in verse 11, I had to start here. I wasn't going to be in chapter 2, but I love this. Verse 11 in chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Did you hear me, church? Did you hear me? The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter your nation, your ethnicity, your race. None of that matters, because the grace of God has appeared so that all men, all women might be saved. Come on, church, that's our goal, that all men, all women might be saved. I hope that's your mission. I hope that's the good that you want to give to people, that offers salvation to all people. Verse 12, it says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen, church. Salvation completely changes us. We are no longer ungodly or go after worldly passions. Salvation, Jesus Christ, completely changes your life. Amen. And listen to me. I love this. I love this. Verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope. Church, we have a living hope. A blessed hope, the hope of Christ Jesus, that one day we're almost home, church. We're almost home. Come on, a blessed hope, a living hope. Come on, church, a living hope. I'm excited today. And this is a beautiful part of Scripture. A beautiful part, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, a people that are his very own. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, set aside and eager to do what is good. I can't do that without Christ. I hope you know that this morning, you can't do this without Christ. You can't even be eager to do good without Christ. Praise the Lord, he redeemed me. Praise the Lord, he's redeemed you. There's nothing better than to accept and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing better in all of creation than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. God must have really loved us to send his son to die on the cross for my sins. The Bible says, what person dies for a good person, let alone dies for a bad person? Can I tell you, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ died for a bad person, me. Me, a bad person, and he died for me. He died for you. And again, in verse 11, he offers salvation to all people. All people. Wow. He's amazing. He is such a great God. Verse 15, these then are the things you should teach. That's what we're doing today, church. Encourage and rebuke with all authority, and do not let anyone despise you. Don't you quit sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should teach it. You should preach it. You should shout it from the rooftops. Because listen to me, it is so important. In this church, we should encourage and rebuke. Correct one another when we've done something wrong. Why? To get it right. With all authority. Whose authority? Christ's authority, not our own. We don't have the authority to encourage or to rebuke. It only comes through Christ. And I love how he says this to Titus. Paul's encouraging him here. Do not let anyone despise you. He says the same thing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Because you're young. But by action, do good. Be upright. Teach the word. Teach the scriptures. This is what we're called to do, church. We're called to teach and preach the good news. Nothing else. The good news. And don't you let anyone stop you. Don't let them stop you. We see Peter and John many times. Been beaten, flogged. They tell them, don't you preach the name of Jesus. And the next day, they're out on the streets preaching Jesus. They didn't care about their suffering. They didn't care about their inconveniences because they knew the power of Christ. His name is above all. Wow. Wow, let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Oh, we're getting hard here now, church. The word's saying it, not me. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. I didn't say it. God's word said it. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities. Listen to me closely first, though. Christ is always first. Christ is always above all. Christ is number one. But listen to me, this is important. Be good to the government. Be good to rulers and authorities. Can I tell you that the government and the authorities and the rulers were persecuting Paul and the church? Were putting them to death? And Paul says, be good to them? Why would you be good to them? They're killing you, Paul. Why would you be good to them? Wow. For someone to be able to say that? Can I tell you, when you do good to others, it's an amazing reflection of Christ. Even when they persecute you, even when they spit at you and say that you're horrible, when you do good to them, it's like putting hot coals on their head. They don't know what to do. That someone would retaliate with goodness? Who retaliates with goodness? We do. We're called to. And it says in verse 2, to slander no one. If you're like me as a new believer, what does slander mean? I'm like, I see it in the Bible often. What is slander? And then when I realized what it was, I was like, oh no, I do that. Spread lies about people. That's what slander means. It's like gossip, but you're telling lies about somebody. Gossip can be the truth. You could still be gossiping and telling the truth. But slandering is when you tell lies to crush somebody's reputation. Because you're jealous, envious of the person, that means you're going to slander them, you're going to lie about them. And then he says to be peaceable. God's the God of all peace. He wants us to be peaceable. Be considerate. Know the struggles people are going through. Be considerate. And always be gentle towards everyone. Why would we do these things? To reflect Jesus Christ. Don't you want people to know who Jesus Christ really is? The Father of goodness? The author of goodness? If we aren't showing goodness, listen to me, the world isn't going to know what true goodness actually is. Because true goodness only comes from the Father. We reflect Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. But listen to me. Many people don't care. Many believers don't care. Just to get up in the world. Listen to me. You want a promotion? You want a new job title? Are you willing to slander for it? Are you willing to tell lies about someone for it? Are you willing to argue about it? Are you willing not to care about other people's feelings? At least a little bit? Be considerate and always be gentle towards everyone. Can I tell you, the Bible even says when we rebuke one another to be gentle and loving in it? Why? To show the goodness of the Father. To show how great and awesome that God is. We reflect Christ. Don't ever forget that, church. Don't ever forget whose name you bear. Whose name you bear if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't forget it, because they're looking at you. They're looking at you. It's a cliche type of thing. You might be the only Bible that somebody reads. How true is that actually? So true. So true. If all you are is filled with hatred, anger, malice, envy, can I tell you, that reflects on Christ. People see that as Christ. That's not who Christ is. That's the opposite of Christ. That's the opposite of Christ. Verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But, oh, here we go, church. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior has appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Come on, church, having the hope of eternal life. We were once the same people we were supposed to be good to. We were once filled with malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But, I love the but here, when the kindness and the love of God had appeared, He saved us. Come on, church. He saved us. Not, and this is important. I don't want you guys to misrepresent what I'm saying up here, because this is the key right here. Not because of the righteous things we had done. There is no good thing. No righteous thing, no whatever it is that you can do that's going to earn you salvation, that's going to earn you a right standing with God. It can't happen because it's the grace of God. That's it, church. That's it, the grace of God. Amen. It's that simple. That simple. It's the grace of God. So it isn't about the righteous things that you can do to earn salvation, but because of His mercy. Wow, is He merciful. Because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth, the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us. Come on. By the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us, we got the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ, He has poured the Holy Spirit out on you so that you might know what is right and what is wrong, so that you might have a counselor, an encourager in your life, even when you're completely alone. If you have Christ, you're never alone. Never, ever alone. And listen to me here, church, whom He poured out graciously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, what is justified? He's made us right. We were once not right, and He made us right. That's what justifying means. He's justified us. He's given us the righteousness of God. Praise God, that's an impossible work. But He did it on the cross, church. He did it on the cross so that we might become heirs. You're not only saved, but you become co-heirs with Christ. That's what the Bible says. You got an inheritance. You have an inheritance in heaven, having the hope of eternal life. That's it, church. That's what we preach. The hope, the hope, the hope of eternal life. Verse 8, I got to say this. This is the greatest thing I think you could say after this. This is a trustworthy saying. This is the most trustworthy saying in all of creation. You can't trust anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so secure in the hope. It's not a wishful hope. Oh, I hope we get into heaven. No, it's the hope of assurance. If you have Christ, listen to me now. You're almost home. Did we not worship this morning? If you have Christ, you're almost home. Home for all of eternity. This is just a small destination on the great eternity that Christ has given us. Are we excited, church? I can't help but smile up here. Wow, God must have really loved us. To do all that for us? To do all that for us? To give us an inheritance? We're co-heirs with Christ? We have a place in heaven to call our home? But we used to live in malice and envy, hating one another, being hated. And by His grace, we are saved. By His grace, we are saved. Come on, church. By His grace, we are saved. This is the most trustworthy saying. The most trustworthy saying. And it says, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Are profitable for everyone. These things, and this is what you hear me repeat some stuff. I'm stressing these things because I'm called to stress these things. And you're called to stress the name of Jesus Christ and what it offers, salvation to all people. And this is the most excellent and profitable thing in all of creation. There is nothing more profitable. There is no money. There is no things, material things, whatever it might be, that's more profitable than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. Being devoted to doing what is good. Be devoted to doing what is good. Why? Gratitude. Praise the Lord that He has saved us, that we do good works. That's it. We do good works for one reason, because He saved us. Not to earn salvation, not to merit any other thing, but because He saved us. That's it. Because we love God. Church, listen to me. I think this church does good things. I think it's doing good things. It's helping people who are hungry, women who are struggling, about to help men who are struggling. I think the church does good things. But listen to me, this isn't a command just for the church. Just as for new life. This is command for each and every one of us. You got to be doing good at your work. You got to be devoted to doing good at school. You got to be devoted to doing good on the streets, wherever it might be. Then listen to me closely, church. You got to be devoted to doing good in your home. Men, listen to me. You got a family? You got to be devoted to doing good in your home. Your wife, your kids, they're watching. They're watching to see if you're doing good. And listen to me, goodness, it's contagious. Goodness is contagious. When you do good to someone other, people want to do good to others. I'll give you an example, just with the drive-through, the McDonald's things. Someone will pay for your meal. How more inclined are you to pay for the person behind you after that? It's like this train, everyone's just paying for everybody's meal. Because goodness is contagious. Because of God's goodness, it should be contagious. We should want to do good because God's done good to us. Amen, church. God's done good to us. We should be devoted to doing good. Why? Gratitude. And then number two, the Father is glorified because of it. When you do good things, listen, it's crazy. You glorify the Father in heaven. When you bear good fruit, when your life is devoted to good fruit, to loving Christ, it glorifies the Father in heaven. You're a sweet aroma to God. When you're devoted to, this is important, devoted to doing good, you're pleasing to the Father. You're a blessing to the Father. He's pleased with you. You're a sweet aroma. That's important to know. And listen to me, third, the most important. So the world sees the working of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, people take notice when you feed people down at the meal ministry? People take notice when you volunteer at the Women's Life House. People take notice when you do good things. And listen to me, it all comes back to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you the Holy Spirit's working in this church? Can I tell you He's doing good things? Can I tell you that we should be grateful for the things that He's doing here? I got to boast on the Holy Spirit here for a minute. We should not be here where we're at. We just had our 20-year celebration. We should not be where we're at. But we are because of the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't have, what is it now, Jimmy? 6, 7 buildings? 6 buildings? We should not have keys to 6 buildings. But because of the Holy Spirit, we do. Because of Christ, we do. This building probably should have fell down years ago. But because of the Holy Spirit, it's still standing. Can I say that? God's not done with you yet. Don't think because you're 50 years old that you can just sit back. That you can just not do anything. And just because you're super young and you're not for sure what God wants you to do, doesn't mean you can just sit back and do nothing. Because the Word says, be devoted to doing good. Be devoted to good things, godly things. Say no to ungodliness. No to worldly passions. And pursue holiness. Holiness. Can't do it without Christ, church. Can't do it without Christ. So that the world sees who Christ is. So Christ, this sounds weird, but this is what the Bible says. So that Christ looks presentable. He looks appetizing. Christ doesn't look appetizing when you hate others. Christ doesn't look appetizing when you mock and slander and gossip and all these other things that sin creeps in and does. He doesn't look appetizing in that. But when you do good, he does. When you throw your hands up in service, he looks appetizing. When you talk about the hope of Christ, when you talk about what Christ has done in your life, when you tell your story to another, can people take notice? People wonder, what is this hope? What is this living hope? Why are these people so happy and peaceable and good? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of Christ. Verse 9. Listen closely, church. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful, and they're self-condemned. That's a hard part of Scripture, church. But it is true. God's Word is true. And this, I love this part, how he says that the gospel is excellent, it's profitable for everyone. But he says arguments, they're useless. They're not profitable for anyone. They do nothing. Listen to me, church. This is important because churches split over this all the time. Arguing about what color the carpet should be is not a good reason to leave the church. Arguing about what hymnals you should have or what song should be sung or all these different little things. Not worth arguing. Useless. That's what the Bible says. Useless, unprofitable for anything. Nothing. It's useless. And people do this today. You say, well, they don't argue about genealogies. That's just a Jewish thing. Have you not heard my family's better than yours? Come on, church. I deserve this role because you know my last name? You know who I've been here for 20 years. You know who I am? Profitable for nothing. Your last name, profitable, nothing. Bearing the name of Christ, excellent, profitable for everyone. Come on, church. That's all you ever need, is the name of Jesus Christ. They're useless and profitable for nothing. It's no reason to argue. Not over small, trivial things. Not over small, useless things. Why? It just divides us. And the Bible tells us to be united in Christ. Unified in Christ. And I want to read this verse to you. I'm going to read a few, but Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. This is important. Listen to me, church. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's what we're called to do as a church. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. That, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're called to be good together. We're called to encourage and spur one another up onto love and good deeds. Together, church. We're called to do it together. And if you're at home, it's going to be hard for you to do it without us. It's going to be hard to do it without the church. Because it is our calling, it is our duty to encourage one another. Spur one another up. I love that word. Spur one another up unto love and good deeds. Good deeds. Why? So they might see your heavenly Father. Come on, church. Their heavenly Father. God calls the church into unity. I wasn't going to read this part, but I think it's important to read this last piece. Verse 12. I might butcher some of these names, so that's all right. As soon as I send Artemis of Titus to you, do your best to come to me to Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can help to Zenith, the lawyer of Apollos, on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not to live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Grace be with you all. Let me tell you, church, God's in the working business. God is a worker. God continues to work. He doesn't stop. Praise God, he doesn't stop working. He doesn't stop doing good. He doesn't stop showing mercy. He doesn't stop encouraging the believers to continue doing good. God is in the working business, and there are too many Christians idle this morning. There are too many believers living idle lives, unproductive lives, not doing what is good, not asking God what they want him to do. There's too many Christians living idle lives. And listen to me, this is just common sense. When you live an idle life, not a whole lot's getting done. Not a whole lot of good's happening. But be ready to do every good work according to his purpose. Be ready. Ready to do whatever is good according to his purpose. God's purpose. Not our own purpose, not what we want, not good things that we want, but God's purpose in your life. Doing good is an important part of the Christian life. It shows the character of God. When you do good, it shows the character of God. And the character of God is good. It is trustworthy. It is righteous. It is the definition of justice. He is holy, but listen to me, he is compassionate. He abounds in mercy. He abounds in love and grace and peace and comfort. And the Bible says he comforts us so that we might comfort others. That's a good thing you could do for somebody, is to comfort them, because Christ has comforted you. Are we understanding that Christ has done all things for us? I hope we understand this, that Christ has done all things for us. All he asks us to do is be devoted to doing good. Be devoted to sharing the gospel. Listen to me. There's a lot of names on that board. A lot of names. Have you even asked God to what good thing you want me to do for them? Can I tell you that sometimes just a visit changes a life? Just a moment changes a life if the Holy Spirit's there. That's it. You don't even have to say anything. The Holy Spirit's already doing work. Because he does the work, church. He does the work. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If, listen to me, church, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Sometimes we can't even be good to our brothers and sisters in Christ, let alone the lost. Can I tell you, if you can't even do good to your own brothers and sisters in Christ, you're going to have a hard time doing good to those who don't believe, who aren't your brothers and sisters in Christ. So just start here. If you struggle doing good, start with your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is important. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen, church. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Not dimly. Under a bushel or a lamp. But let your light shine as bright as possible so that they may see your good deeds, your good works, your fruit, church, your fruit, and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what it's about, church, to glorify your Father in heaven. To glorify your Father in heaven. Listen to me, church. Is he calling you to do a good work? Is he calling you to step out of your comfort zone? If you were here Wednesday, she's not in here, I don't think. It was a blessing to see Brittany Staten up here singing. If you were here Friday, hopefully that was a blessing to you. Ask God what you want, what he wants you to do, and then do it. It's as simple as that. It's scary. I'm not saying it's not scary. Trust me, church. I am not saying it's not scary. But there's so much peace and joy in it. So much peace and joy when you say, "God, I'll go. I'll do the good thing. I'll do whatever you call me to do. Is God calling you to do a good work this morning? Are you running from his calling? Think about it for a moment. Is God calling you to do something? Are you running from it? Are you running from the calling he has placed on your life? I'll testify to it. There's no peace in when you're running. There's no peace when you're running. There's no joy when you're running. It's hard to get it right when you're running. Are you running from the calling he's placed on your life? Do you struggle doing good things? Do you struggle just doing good things for others? Ask God to help you. Ask the Father to help you. And listen to me, this is an important one. Is sin keeping you from doing good for the Father? Is there sin in your life keeping you from doing good works, bearing good fruit for the Father? Because if there's sin in your life, listen to me, you can't bear good fruit. A bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. Sin keeps us from doing good. It just does. Sin separates us, breaks our relationship. But listen to me, this is so beautiful. Once you're a child of God, all you got to do is say, Dad, I want to come home. That's it. Just all you got to do is come down this altar and say, God, I want you to take the sin from my life and help me do good. Because again, I want to say it again. I'll say it like this. 1 Chronicles 16:34. This is beautiful, church. Man, God's word's beautiful. It really is. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. I gotta say it again, church. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. For his loving kindness endures forever. Let's stand, church. I think this two messages rolled into one. I think if you struggle doing good, it's time to get it right. But I also think if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, today's the day of salvation. If you don't understand the love of Christ, can I tell you that today is the day of salvation? If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't you think it's coming tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. Come on, don't wait. But again, we got to have more Christians doing good. You can't just say, my church does good, so I do good. That's not how it works. You are the church. You got to do good. And praise God that he's able to even let us do good. But listen to me, much more important, I want to stress this. Salvation is key. Are you thankful what Christ has done in your life? Are you thankful you're a believer? That Christ has redeemed you. Redeemed you.